So if someone insists on not receiving what Christ has done for them, they keep on rejecting Jesus Christ. Just remember this. If you marry him, your father-in-law, I'm not referring to his earthly father, I'm referring to your father-in-law. How can two walk together unless they are agreed? I don't know who is that for, but hey, God loves you. Marriage is not something you just run into without the biggest things in life being settled. Make sure you're heading in the same direction. You see, the world can only focus on each other on this ground and trying to focus on each other to get closer and more intimate. God's way is to focus on him like a triangle. And the more you focus, both of you focus, you and her focus on him, you draw closer and closer. Amen. Remember this. Marriage was meant to have a third party. His name is Jesus. And he will bring you both together. Because focusing on each other can drain the life out of each other and really kill the marriage. I mean, focus on Jesus. There are times you feel like putting poison in his food. There are times, even if he knows you put poison, he will eat it. He'd rather die than be with you. But there's a time you all need to focus on Jesus. Even though you don't feel like, and she doesn't feel like, but because of Jesus, I'll do it for you, Lord. I won't do it for him, but I'll do it for you. Yes. Yes. There's no such thing as finding someone that you feel love all the time. No such thing on this earth. No such thing. You know that peahen? I was going to say peacock. That peahen that you are lusting for in your workplace? Marry her, and after for a while, you see what happens. You'll find that your wife has some virtues that never have. Amen? So, coming back here, okay? Stick to the resurrection! Okay. All right. So, it's ascending to my Father, your Father, to my God, and your God. Next verse. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. Now, if you are taking down notes, all right, I'm bringing this to a close, and I think I'll do it in alliteration form because it's easier for you to remember in alliteration, okay? He's going to give us victory over these areas. And no matter what you're faced with, you're either being confronted with fear. So the first alliteration is fearfulness, all right? The other thing that he gives us victory over in his resurrection is faithlessness. And the final one we'll see is fruitlessness, okay? In alliteration form, easier for you to remember. All right, first of all, fearfulness. Verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst. I love that, in the midst. And said to them, "Peace be with you." Now, how many know fear is a sin? Whatever fear you may have, in this case, the disciples were afraid of men. Amen? They were afraid of dying. That's what I'm saying just now. That after they saw the risen Christ, they're no longer afraid of dying even for his name's sake. But here their fear was, you might have fear about being left alone. Fear of losing someone you love. Fear of losing your money. Fear of the future. Fear of not being able to accomplish something. Fear of losing someone's good opinion. Fear over your health. Fear over your child's health. Fear over a lot of the things in the future. Whatever it is. Fear is sin. If you look in at the book of Revelation chapter 21, you'll find that there's a list given of people who go into the lake of fire in hell. And the first group is the fearful. Think about it. When God mentions something first, usually it's a matter of priority, because like 9 gifts, word of wisdom comes first. It's the most significant. If I can put all 9 are significant, but in order of priority, wisdom is the principal thing. And notice what goes into the lake of fire first. Fearful. Fearful. Fear is the mother of all sins. Fear is the reason. Fear was the first thing that when man became self-righteous, they took the fruit. The first thing that happened to him was a fearful heart. Fear. And notice the Lord appeared right in the midst of their fear, and he never even rebuked them for their fear. And he said, peace be unto you. I'm telling you, the risen Christ, he's risen not to impute sin to you. He's risen to impute righteousness to you. He did not come demanding confession. By the way, those who teach confession, all right? And I believe in confession, but I don't believe you confess your sins in order to be forgiven. I believe you confess your sins because you have been forgiven. So I do believe in confession of sins, only the motivation behind it. Because here, they didn't confess their fear. And yet Jesus declared to them, and fear is sin. Jesus appeared and says, peace, shalom be unto you. He came supplying, not demanding. He came proclaiming, not exacting from them. Isn't it beautiful? He says, peace, shalom. And the word peace, shalom in Hebrew, here is Greek Irene. If your name is Irene, that's the meaning of it. And it means more than just peace of mind. Shalom means wholeness, integrated. It means health, well-being in every dimension of your being, spirit, soul, and body. Peace is not just peace of mind. It's peace in your body. You are at ease. Everything in your body, there's no dis-ease. Disease, it's all at ease. Everything is integrated. Everything is in its place. That is shalom. In Israel today, they greet one another with this beautiful word, shalom, shalom. Amen. But many a times, the Apostle Paul, when he opens up a book, he always says, grace and peace. It's not just peace. Grace and peace be unto you. Grace and peace. Many, many books where he writes to the church, to the churches, he will say, grace and peace. And he'll close the book with grace and peace. Except to individuals, he will say, grace, mercy, and peace. There's mercy for individuals there. All right. But usually when he writes to a church, he will say, grace and peace, grace and peace. And he'll close with grace and peace. So I asked the Lord one time, why there's no grace here, only peace? And the Lord says, because grace was standing there. Which goes to show again, grace is a person. Can I have a good amen? And he said to them, peace be with you. You know, I want to say this to you. Jesus have, when he says peace be unto you, he's saying health be unto you. Well-being be unto you and your family. He said it in the Last Supper. He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. That's our part. Neither let it be afraid. He says, peace, health, I leave with you. Wholeness, I leave with you. Well-being, I give you. But let not your heart, I cannot let not for you. Your mama cannot let not for you. Your pastor cannot let not for you. You let not your heart be troubled. The only thing he asks you, let not your heart be troubled. And then that health will reign in your body. That health will reign in your child's body. That peace will happen in your family. Let not your heart be troubled. Don't guard so many things outside your life. You'll be stressed out and hassled, and you will lose your temper, and you'll be frazzled, and you'll be losing your mind. You'll break down. Only one thing to guard. Guard your heart. Let not your heart be troubled. The devil come and say, what's going to happen? Your child, the teacher says, your child, let not my heart be troubled. What are you going to do about this? The deadline is, let not your heart be troubled. The devil come, you are so irresponsible, you know. Everything, let not your heart be troubled. Who's going to do it then? Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. Why don't you ask him? If you don't do anything, nothing will be done. Let not your heart be troubled. If you don't wash this area, the entire church will collapse. Let not your heart be troubled. If you don't do that, you will lose your family. You got to do this. You got to make sure. All right? Beat them before they beat you. Strike first before they strike first. Don't worry. Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. And what troubles you and what troubles me are two different things, you know. Okay, I don't want to preach that because actually I was planning the sermon for another time, Ray. Another time. Keep on coming, people. He's going to bless you, amen? If you want God to work in your life, then just know this. He wants your life full of peace, full of well-being, full of health. He just invites us, let not your heart. Okay? So he says, peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. These are the divine tokens of receipt. His hands and his side are pierced. His side was pierced with a spear. The spear represents the enmity of men, and the tip of that spear met the blood that washes. And I'm telling you, people, he showed them his hands to tell them, the receipt for your peace has been paid. The receipt for your health has been paid. The receipt for forgiveness of your sins have been paid. Look at this. Look at my hands. These are the receipts. So the devil can come to God and say, God, you're a thrice holy God. You're a holy, holy, holy God. And man is a thrice messed up man. All right, he's threefold dirty. How can a thrice holy God accept a thrice sinful man? And God says, look at the cross. All the sins and the filth of man was borne by the sinless one. Amen. And there is where my judgment is. It is not that I did not judge that man's sin, that man's sin, that man's sin, that woman's sin. It's that I judge them. But I judge them not in their bodies, but in the body of the one that hung on the cross in the middle of the two thieves. It was upon him that I judge all the sins of men. Now, my justice cannot punish that one, that one, that woman, that man. If I punish that man for the same sins that I punish the middleman of the cross, all right, then I'll be no longer thrice holy, because I'm punishing the same sin twice. And the law of double jeopardy occurs. You cannot punish the same sin twice. Instead, because this person's sins have been judged in the cross, devil, you cannot have access into his life. Though you had a right in times past, because so-and-so broke my law, amen. Therefore, using the curse of the broken law, you could enforce some things in his life. But because the man in the middle of the cross gave his life as payment, he who knew no sin, and his payment was for this man, so that whatever he deserves that you can bring in his life, he took at the cross. So that what he deserves, all the good things and the favor that this man didn't deserve, was given to him. And I am a holy God. I must make sure that this transaction is kept. That's why God can be righteous in making sinful men righteous. The cross is the wisdom of God. You say, well, I thought God hates sin. Look at the cross. Even Jesus, his beloved son, the son that he loved, died a terrible death on that cross. That's how much God hates sin. But I thought God loves the sinner. Look at the cross. It wasn't you and I hanging there. It was his son. That's the love of God. Oh, the wisdom of God in the cross. The princes of this world, the devil and his principalities and his cohorts, never dream of such a love and such wisdom that is portrayed in the cross. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. The disciples were glad. Glad here is the word kairo. Remember when you were taught about joy coming from the word charis, kairo? Same root word. Joy is kairo. This is literally joy. So peace comes from seeing his accomplished work. Then your conscience says, paid, you are at rest. You don't have to exact punishment from your wife, from your husband. You don't have to punish yourself also anymore. You don't have to cut yourself. It's paid. When it's paid, your conscience says, rest. It's paid. But what about joy? Joy comes by seeing the Lord. Joy comes by seeing the Lord. Yesterday, I was preparing all these verses. And then I came to verse 20 and I was telling Esty, who is preparing the verses over the phone. And I told her about the three seeing, blipo, teorio, and the last one, eido, which is revelation seeing. And she says, Pastor, I just checked it. And this word here, they were glad when they saw the Lord is eido. So how many know that even while preparing, revelation is flowing among my people? So this is for Esty. Esty, by the way, is still single, beautiful, stalwart, strong, quick with revelation. She'll make some men happy. Okay, praise God. They were glad. They were joyful. So listen, church. Before you step out of your house, before you go anywhere, before you travel, whatever you do, what you want is that you want to be led forth with joy and be led forth with peace and go out with joy. That's what you want. You want to go out with joy and be led forth with peace. Joy and peace is the kingdom of God. When you have joy and peace in your heart, the Holy Spirit can lead you. When you find yourself stepping, doing something and there's no peace, you don't do it. You know how God speaks to you? That's how God leads you. There's no joy, there's no peace, don't do it. Someone talks to you and he sounds really friendly, he flatters you, and there's no peace. Shun that person, amen. So joy and peace. Peace comes by knowing his finished work. Joy comes by seeing the Lord. Every time you hear a sermon, all right, that's why it's important that preachers preach Jesus. When people see the Lord, joy comes. Amen. When they proclaim his finished work, peace comes. And all the people said, amen. So the first victory is victory over fearfulness. Because of time, we're going to rush through. The next one, now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. By the way, I read this one time, Thomas called the twin. I don't know who is the twin. Obviously, he was a twin. Thomas called the twin. He had a twin brother. And I think the reason that God never tell us, by the way, his twin brother is not one of the 12. He was chosen to be one of the 12. I was thinking, who is the twin, Lord? And the Lord never tells who the twin is in the scriptures. But I suspect I found him. It is the one reading. Don't believe until I see. I always cannot believe until I see it. Seeing is believing. The twin is actually all of us. So Thomas was not with them when Jesus came. You see what happens when you miss church one Sunday? You become an unbelieving believer. Amen. The other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. So he said to them, unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand in his side, I will not believe. There are people who say, unless I touch him, unless I feel him, I will not believe. So that particular Sunday, 8 days after that, his disciples were again inside and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut. You see, in the resurrected body, shut doors pose no problem. We transcend that already. Our bodies will be like his. Okay? Please don't just float into my mansion. There's some protocol in heaven, thank God. All right? The doors being shut. And he stood in the midst. I love that again. And said, peace to you. Then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here. Look at my hands. Reach your hand here. Put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Let me just tell you this, okay? If Jesus is not God, okay? And he should have rebuked Thomas right here. No, my friend. Thomas was accurate. Jesus is Lord. He's 100% deity, 100% humanity. Amen. Once upon a time, he's all God. When he came to earth to be a man, today he's forever man, representing us. Still God, but God-man. And the heart that beats for us at the Father's right hand is a human heart with human sympathies, with human affections, understanding the whole gamut of human emotions, having gone through all the vicissitudes of our life as a human being, there is a man, one of us made it. There is a man in glory. There's a man in heaven. Amen? To emphasize one to the exclusion of the other is unhealthy. And sometimes we forget he's also 100% man. So there's a man in glory. And he says, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. So now he gives us victory over faithlessness. The first one is victory over fearfulness. Now victory over faithlessness. And the last one, victory over fruitlessness. The next chapter, this is about 2 weeks after Jesus rose from the dead. And I'll go through it real fast. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, he showed himself. I love that location. I love that place. I love the Sea of Tiberias. I love to be there. A few weeks ago, I was there and one of my security Israeli guys got saved by the Sea of Tiberias. I love that location. I love it. It's one of the best places. I can just camp there. Simon Peter Thomas called the twin Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. They said to him, we are going with you also. He's obviously a natural born leader. All right, he says, hey guys, I'm going fishing. They say, we go with you. All right. They went out and immediately got into the boat. And that night they caught nothing. Fruitlessness. Now remember, these people are fishermen. Especially Peter. They are experienced with that sea. And it's not a big lake, by the way. It's called a sea because it looks like a sea, but it's a lake. Right? But he knows where the good fishes are. He knows the timing the fishes have high tea. Where they go and all that. He's an expert. He grew up there. He was a fisherman. He's a natural born leader. What does that tell you? That tells us one thing. There comes a time in your life that even if you're a natural born leader and people follow you, the result is fruitlessness. Leadership is not the answer. There are people who say, leadership is the answer. Let me tell you this, Jesus is the answer. Yes, those who keep their eyes on Jesus become good leaders. I remember something said of, a missionary, I forgot his name now. They said that he's a great leader. The amazing thing about his leadership is this, he wasn't even conscious he was a leader. I think that speaks volumes. A leader who is not conscious, he's a leader. And those leaders who must remind you they are leaders, pray. So, leadership didn't help them. Experience, they are experienced fishermen. Some of them are experienced, didn't help them. They caught nothing. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Have you noticed that Jesus is so close to you at the hour of your need? Have you noticed that? When there was a storm rising, where was Jesus? He didn't shout from afar. He was walking on the sea. Here they were near the shore and they were tired. They were hungry. They were cold because it's morning now. And they taught the whole night. They caught nothing. Now inwardly, they were discouraged. Inwardly, they were lacking in motivation to go further. And Jesus comes right at the right time. I'll tell you something about Jesus. He knows what you're going through. All right? In the moment of fruitlessness, sometimes... The problem is this. Every time, I'm going to pray this for you, just in a while's time. I'll pray that this coming week, God makes your crooked places straight. But the problem is that if God goes and God can go into the future of your week because God is outside time, always remember, the one who made time cannot be confined by time. If he can be confined by time, time made him. No, he's outside time. He made time. So he can go to the future and change your future. You understand? I'm going to invite him to go into your future this week and make the crooked places straight. The problem, the biggest problem about this is this. When he goes and make your crooked places straight, you don't say thank you because you think that it was like this all the time. It's better for you to get into trouble and then at the last moment he come and rescue you, you will say thank you. But sometimes these kind of things is better, I think, for people's walk with God because at least they give thanks. But many a time when God keeps their path straight and God protects them from evils that he foresaw but they never see, they were never in it because he delivered them from it long before they were in it. How can they say thanks to him not knowing that there was a trouble that he delivered in front of them that they never were in for them, for him to deliver them from? Are y'all with me? Through this. Okay. So, but I'm still going to pray that he makes your path straight. But don't take him for granted. Always give him thanks. Praise him. Amen. Say, Lord, you know, you don't have to get praises from me by getting me into trouble. All right? Allow me to get in trouble. And then I see how you can deliver. And then I give you thanks. Lord, I will give you thanks still. Amen. So remember this. Jesus stood on the shore. He's always at the point of your need. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. That goes to the story of all of us. The twins. We all, even Jesus comes so close, we don't know it's Jesus. We think it's trouble. Sometimes it's not trouble, it's Jesus telling us, you know, this fruitlessness is to turn your eyes to me. Pastor, you don't understand. You know, my daughter said this to me. My son said this to me. My wife said this to me. My husband said this to me. My best friend said this to me. I saw my friend blog about this. I saw my friend said this. I was not invited to the party. And all this, you're thinking, Jesus, you don't love me. No, 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 friend, because you're looking all the time at men. And maybe he's allowing you to be disappointed with men. so that your eyes can be turned to him. Because every which way you turn him, he's not like man at all. He's altogether lovely. And I thank God for those times that I get disappointed with men, so I can turn my eyes to him. And I thank God as a pastor, I can look at him, because he's altogether lovely, and then handle men. Instead of being lost with all the humanities and the shortcomings of men, then get depressed. Turn your eyes away from that and look to Jesus. And then come back and bless your family, bless your friends. Amen? So God bless every preacher and minister that points us to Jesus. Anyway, Jesus was there. Next verse, I'll close with this. Then Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any food?" They answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." For those who know Bible teaching, the right side, like Yamin, right side, Benjamin, Benjamin is son of my right hand. The Bible says righteousness is God's right hand. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. It's a place where one is acquitted. He's telling us, if you always cast your net, do things in your family life, do things in your business with a righteousness consciousness, you will find. You will find that fruit that you've been looking for. And then Jesus says, not only find, notice what he says, you will find some. In their case, it's the fish. Let me tell you what Jesus means when he says you will find some. His some is not our some. He says, you cast your net on the right side and you'll find some. Watch. They cast, so they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. They can't even drag the net out. It was so full of fish. That's what he means when he says some. Amen? Let me tell you about Jesus. Heaven's economy and our economy are totally different. Okay? When he tells you, I have something good for you. Mary chose the good part. Let me tell you this. Good for him, good for man are two different things. When he says good, the good can go on and on and on. You know something else? Peter gave him his boat, right? And Peter lost time to catch fish. In the natural, you lose time when you come to church, you serve the Lord, you take time Sunday to be with the Lord, and you say it's lost time. Jesus is never beholden to anybody. You can never outgive him. Because you know why? For that little lost time, when he went back to Peter's boat, Peter launched out. He gave Peter a net-breaking, boat-sinking load of fishes. By the way, was that the only time that Peter received? No. Until today, all the fishes in the Lake of Galilee, when y'all go to Israel, y'all eat what? Not St. Thomas the twins' fish. What fish do y'all eat? St. Peter's fish. Until now, his name is honored. I don't know why they call it St. Peter's fish. It was, Andrew was also a fisherman. But it's called St. Peter's fish. Until today, Jesus never stops giving to Peter the honor and the respect for that little moment. When you serve the Lord, don't say, "Pastor, I don't get paid when I serve the Lord in church. I'm doing this voluntarily. Wow, so high, so mighty, so great." Nah. Let me tell you something. Ever since you serve, has the Lord blessed you or not? But I thought that it was because good things happen, you know. Say, don't say that. He paid you. I tell you this: everybody that serves the Lord in church, they might not receive a salary, but they receive the salary. Everyone that serves the Lord, don't come and give me that nonsense about I'm doing it freely, I'm not getting paid. He will not take it for free. He asked the fisherman for the boat for him to preach from land because the people were pressing in on him, and yet he gave back the boat, a different kind of boat. That same boat the night before caught nothing, just like this morning. But the same boat is now magnetized. All the fishes says, "Head for it! Roger! Let's go, Nemo!" Shoom! All of them. Oh, aim for that boat. Why? It was given to Jesus. Don't give to Jesus if you want the things to remain the same. Don't give your child, don't give your marriage, don't give your health, don't give nothing. And when you come to church, just listen and go. All right? Don't give energy to get energy back. Whatever you give to Jesus, even your youth, He will multiply it back to you. So don't give nothing to Jesus if you don't want Him to break it and multiply it and give you back more than 12 basketful. Don't give to Him. Okay? So, victory over fearfulness, victory over faithlessness, and now victory over fruitlessness. It was so much fish, they could not carry it into their boat. They had to drag it all the way to land. And that's the picture of the risen Christ selected by the Holy Spirit to cover the Gospels. But there were many, many things the Bible says Jesus did. But these are written that you might believe. And that believing, you might have life through His name. And all the people said, amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed all across this place. Praise the name of Jesus. First, I want to address the believers here. Don't think that for one moment that you are doing the Lord some favor by coming to church on Sunday. But think this way. I want to come because I am the needy one. He is the supplier. I want to come because I am the empty one and He is the filler. I want to come because I'm sick. In some ways, I'm sick, but He is the healer. Amen. When you come like that, you cannot go away the same. But when you come and you come with the attitude like you're doing God a favor or you're serving like you're doing God a favor, you'll go away empty. Remember this. God resisteth the proud, but gives grace to the humble. I'm addressing the believers now. Like water, the lower it is, the more the water will always go to the lowest place. If there's a lower place still, the water will seek it out. Grace and favor is like that. It goes to those who stay low. Stay low, and God's dew will be on you. Stay low, and God will anoint you. But when you're proud, the dew will go away far from you. Amen. I pray that you serve the Lord. I pray you get involved somehow. I pray that you will just avail yourself. Don't ask how. Ask the Lord, and the Lord will put you in serving the Lord. One of the ways this week you can get that movie just now, Golgotha, and send it to your friends. There's gospel preaching in it. It is self-explanatory. And you're doing your friends a great favor. Friend, serve the Lord. And the Lord says, He who serves me, my Father will honor. God's honor and man's honor are two different things. When God honors, like the way He honored Peter, it still goes on. So friend, start getting involved in the ministry. Start looking at ministries. If you are good with creative technology or IT, hey, we need you. We need to serve the Lord. Amen. Just like you saw that movie just now, it's done by creative people. Amen. On reward day, it's not just Pastor Prince receiving, I hope I receive, but it'll be many, 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 many who are behind this. And now I want to address those of you who have heard the gospel just now, the good news. The greatest thing you can do is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved and your house. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ that He died for your sins, that you cannot pay for your sins. Nothing in your hand can you bring to Him. When it comes to salvation, you cannot serve Him into salvation. You cannot work yourself into salvation. You only receive it as a gift. It's all paid for at the cross when Jesus said, it is finished. Well, friend, let me pray for you. Pray along with me as we say this prayer right now to God. Say, Heavenly Father, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe He died on the cross as the sin offering for all my sins. He died in my place. He took my sin. I now receive His righteousness. He took my shame and I receive His glory. He became poor that I might be rich. He was scourged for my sickness that I might be healed. He was forsaken by God that I might be received by the Father. He was buried, and on the third day, He rose from the dead Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, now and forever. Thank you, Father. I'm completely forgiven of all my sins, past, present, and future. I'm greatly blessed, highly favored, and I am deeply loved. Thank you, Father. I'll remember this day forever. In Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen. Stand to your feet. Praise the Lord. Let me pray for the crooked places to be straight. But remember to thank Him. You might say at the end of this week, it's been an uneventful week. Oh, if only you had known. If only you had known what the devil had in store for you. If only you had known. I've been to dangerous places even early this year. I've been to dangerous places last year. Let me just tell you this. Safety is in the Lord. Safety is in Psalms 91 when you make God your refuge. Amen. Make God your hiding place. Bring your family and your children under the wings of the Lord and tell Him, with all the terror, with all the Ebola virus, with all the strains of viruses, with all the weather going crazy, with all that's happening in the world, all kinds of accidents, Lord, I trust You to be the hiding place. I don't shun Your protection. I bring my family under Your protection. Amen? Lift your hands all across this place. This coming week, the Lord bless you and your families with the blessings of Abraham, the blessings of Deuteronomy 28. When you travel, you will not travel alone. The Lord will go before you and the Lord will be your rear guard. He will walk through with you even though you're going through a valley. He will walk through with you to the other side. Throughout this week, the Lord make all your crooked places straight. But remember to give Him the praise and the glory. At the end of the week, it might seem like uneventful. It might seem like there was no protection because everything was as normal. But the Lord has protected you. The Lord keep you and your family safe from all evil, from infection, from disease, from sickness, from terror, from all the power of the evil one, through the blood that He shed at Calvary's cross. The Lord favors you and place you at the right place at the right time. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and your children and grant to you and yours His wonderful shalom, peace, health, and well-being. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and all the people said, amen and amen. God bless you. Love one another. I will see you again.
You've been listening to Pastor Joseph Prince, and we trust that you've been blessed. For more information on our messages, books, and videos, do visit our website at josephprince.com. Register today and receive a complimentary MP3 message. You'll also receive an exclusive Meditate and Believe Right daily email by Joseph Prince. Be greatly blessed, highly favored, and deeply loved.